The reading for today is from Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 through 24. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I, myself, will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I, myself, will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. As for you, my flock, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will judge between one sheep and another, and between rams and goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture? Must you also trample the rest of your pasture with your feet? Is it not enough for you to drink clear water? Must you also muddy the rest with your feet? Must my flock feed on what you have trampled and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away. I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is the word of the Lord.
You have already heard today, as Beverly did such an awesome job of reading that, with the stresses on the eyes, because that's where it belongs today, is all on the eyes here, that Jesus is speaking to us. And as we enter into this text, may the Lord be with you. Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. How hard is it to, when you search for something that is lost? We can spend a lot of time looking for things. In my house, probably more than many, I spent a few minutes looking around the other day for the remote control, then I realized I left it on the stove, on a burner. It was off, fortunately. I found that remote before in the cabinet in the peanut butter area, not in the peanut, but next to the peanut butter. I found it in the refrigerator in the past. I found it in different rooms of the house, even out in the garage. Glasses, they disappear. Keys disappear. My wallet, they're in all those same places pretty much too. Haven't done the wallet on the stove yet, I don't think, but you know, it's always a possibility. When we search for things that are lost, sometimes there's a little grief involved because we need what we're looking for now. Did that for some papers that I was looking for a meeting yesterday. I needed these papers desperately, and I could not find them anywhere. I searched the office, I searched all my files, I searched boxes, I searched home in boxes and stacks of papers where I had them hidden. Could not find them for anything. Frantic kind of searching. What if we were to have that same kind of frantic searching when it came to people who are lost? Because that's the way the Lord looks at his people. I mean, we're concerned about things, when maybe if we had that same kind of passion and reaction to the idea that there were lost people that could be helped, we might be the vessel that the Lord chooses to help them through. What would the world look like if all the Christians just all of a sudden started recognizing these people that are lost around us all the time that need a Savior? Three times in our text today, the Lord says, my sheep, my sheep, my sheep. And then he says three times after that, my flock, my flock, my flock. It's very clear that the Lord sees us as his people, his sheep, and he is the shepherd. And he wants us to know that. And so he talks to us in such a way as to help us to understand that he's going to be there to help us should we get lost, but also just to hold on to us because we are his people and recognize that there are those out there that are lost. And in some cases, we've got to be very careful of them. But the Lord is there, and the Lord knows who his people are. He knows you're part of his flock. He says, you're my sheep. He says, you're my flock. And while there are some that wander off, in some cases, it's not a matter of he's failed to do his job as the shepherd. It's not a matter of it's our job to say that we failed as part of the flock and holding on to the flock, because there are some folks that just want to go and do their own thing their own ways. In God's perspective, though, as people wander off, he's got this perspective. I would say that God just wants us to go back out there and get them right back. Just like the shepherd that searches for the one sheep that was lost. Just get out there and, you know, once you identify the problem, get out there and solve it. Work on it. You know they're lost, go out there, bring them back. God really shows us his attitude. God's get her done kind of attitude. Just go to it. Be a person that's going to get out there and take care of these needs. In our text today, it says that we are his sheep and his flock, but God goes farther because he uses all these phrases that are... I'm going to break this reading down into three sections, really. The first one up through verse 16, where he says, I myself will search, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue, verse 13, I will bring them out from the nations and gather them. I will bring them to their own land. I will pasture them on the fields in the mountains of Israel. I will tend them in good pasture. God says in 15, I will tend my sheep, I myself. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But, and then there's the last part of that verse, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. That last part, and you have to remember there weren't verse, chapter and verse designations when these were put together in the scriptures that we have them the way we have them now, but that last part of the verse is really a transition into the next thought that's coming up and dividing up those two different aspects. But he's the one, first of all, in this first section, he searches, he rescues, he tends, he binds us up, he strengthens his sheep, he brings them justice. And he does these things not to make us feel bad that we haven't been able to get them done ourselves, but because he can, and God has that get-her-done perspective that he realizes you're wandering sheep, you're straying sheep, you're faltering sheep, but God is the shepherd. And so he's going to tend to us and take care of all of our needs. He also knows there's some who aren't trying out there, though, and some who don't care about others. And some that are almost, if you will, worse than the goats. He talks about dividing the sheep and the goats. God is not really anti-goats, but it's a good illustration the way you use it, is that to divide it up. They're clearly different animals. There are sheep that are careless. There are sheep that are selfish. There are sheep that are no better than goats, though they act like they are. And God warns, he says, beware, beware goats, and beware fat sheep. I thought about bringing that sheep that I used from the last Lent display, that little roly-poly kind of sheep up here. I like that little sheep. It's cute. I don't use the cute word cute very often, so take it when you get it. But a little pudgy sheep. You know, that's you don't want to look at lean sheep. Nobody wants to see lean sheep. That's why we don't like them once they're trimmed. You know, we like the puffy, fluffy-looking things. They're fun little joyful creatures the way they look. But But boy, you take away that, and they're not very attractive once they lose their wool. But God is talking about actually the fat sheep as being bad in a sense, because they get that way off the backs of the others. They're the ones that have forced others out of the way. They're the ones that have made sure that they were first, and that they got the food earliest and the best food, and would keep the others from being able to receive their shares. The text goes on in verse 17. As for you, my flock, Sovereign Lord says, I will judge. And then he adds in these thoughts, is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture? He's giving us the choice, the choicest of properties. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture? Must you also muddy the rest under your feet? So it's not so much just the idea that they're getting the good parts, but they're making the rest something that isn't even good for the other sheep to be able to have. Must my flock trample and muddy this that is behind them? And he says again, I will judge. In verse 20, I myself will judge. Some people seem to have to tread down others in their claims of righteousness. Some have abused the word of God by not sharing what they've received. We all receive this word, and this word is a blessing to us, but may it also be a blessing to others around us and others through us, that we don't look after ourselves and muddy the waters for everyone that's behind us or everyone that's around us. The sheep were cared for. They were loved. They were honored by God with His grace upon them and His mercy upon them. But they loved and they hoarded and they defiled what God had given. By their actions, the boast of spiritual food that they receive, in some cases these sheep don't share it with others. What would it be like for us to be given all these gifts of God and then not look after the sheep around us? Sometimes we fall into that category where we're more consumed with the blessings we're receiving than the blessings we need to be passing along. I think I can say I'm preaching to the choir and everybody else that showed up today. But the understanding that we're probably not in that kind of a situation as often, because we are in the Word regularly, and so we're seeking to avoid placing ourselves in these kinds of situations. But it will happen. It has happened. And for other fat sheep that are still around, their actions can cause the weaker in faith to become weaker still. God warns of a punishment for these sheep. God warns that there are punishments for those who do not share of these blessings that He gives us with others. Too many sheep think that they know better than the shepherd. And it's kind of like the student who constantly challenges the teacher over, no matter what they say. They like to challenge the teacher. And these are the sheep who will challenge the shepherd and in the end fall in disgrace, because we know that where God has spoken, it's clear, and where God has spoken, that's it, and where God has spoken and given us His word, there's nothing more to cover, because when God says I've spoken, basically we need to stop. There's nothing left for us to add in. We can't contribute to what God has given us and make it better, make it change, and make it something that is more palatable, more likable for us or for others in this world. He finishes this text, verse 21 and through 24. I will save my flock. I will judge between one sheep and another. And in the previous, this is something we need to know and understand about that word judge. Judgment is not a bad thing, not for you, not for me, because we have faith. Sure, we fall and falter, but we're still in that flock of God. We're still his sheep, and he's still caring for us and forgiving us through his son's death and resurrection, through what Jesus gave to us. We have that. But there is a judgment that we will face as well. We think of judgments, and we think of the negative almost always. We're waiting for the judgment, and it's this idea of impending doom. That happens so much in the news nowadays when we've got problems with people that have shot police officers or police officers that have shot other people. Boy, that's just so prevalent when that happens nowadays. And there's going to be a judgment. And what comes down is going to be something that some people are going to like and some people are not going to like. And if the judgment doesn't go the way they like it, that's always interesting. Then it wasn't fair. It was partial, not impartial. That there was some bias or the wrong judgment was reached. You know, if the judgment goes against what we like, it's wrong. But if the judgment goes the way that we like, then they got it right. They did the right thing. Justice is served. That's such a struggle in our society. Because that's even how we make our laws. We vote in and people either make a call for us and they make the call and we like it or we don't, or half the people vote one way and half and one more person votes the other way. And all of a sudden things are different and it's not right, or it is right depending on which side of the fence we're on. But when God says it's done, and where God has spoken, that's where there's no argument left for us. There's no discussion left for us. God has given us his word, his law, and his gospel. And he gives those to us in this text today. There comes a point where we need to be reminded as sheep, it doesn't matter what we know. It doesn't matter what we think we know. It doesn't matter what we think we know. Because where God has spoken, we need to be quiet. We need to stop talking and listen. Stop trying to explain our way, our actions, or our ideas. Stop making excuses. Just stop. And say, yes, Lord, you've spoken. He is the shepherd. We are his sheep. We don't make a call in which pasture we're going to go to. We don't get to choose where the Lord is going to have us lie down and rest. Or when. Where God speaks, though, we do have an opportunity to be a part of that. And we can either listen together and follow together as one flock, this one shepherd. Or we can try and be sheep on our own, which I can guarantee you in a world full of wolves is not a good idea. But God is on your side. And he's there to love and to protect. He says, I will. He doesn't even make it about you. He makes it about what he's going to do for you. And he's already done the most important thing. He's accomplished your salvation through his son, through Jesus, through an empty cross and an open tomb. And everything else, he doesn't leave that to you either. I, God says, am going to do it. And we thank God that he does. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Amen.